Please open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 14 today. And as you open your Bible, I want to tell you that we really did have a blessed trip and had two pretty interesting experiences on the airplane. And the first one ties in exactly with what we're talking about today. We were down, we had made it to port, we had spent the night, and we had gotten on the small plane, and we were going to go back across the island. And one of the ladies from Jason's church that was with us, I think she felt the need. She got a little nervous. She had a little bag in her hand, and so she was wanting to make sure that thing was going to fly. And so for some reason, she's asking me, and I know as much about airplanes as, you know, the next person that knows absolutely nothing about airplanes, you know. So she's talking to me about it, and I said, well, this is how we always go, and it's always been fine. And so she decided she better confess. She said, the Lord called me to go on this trip last year, but I didn't go. You know, I just said no. And so I think she thought she'd feel better if she confessed that. And so through the week, when she said that to me, I said back to her, I said, well, you know, this is what you miss when you don't serve the Lord. And I couldn't tell you how many times through the week that I would be doing something with a group of people, and that thought would just come back to my mind over and over and over and over and over. Listen, we can sit in here and tell God no, but it doesn't mean that the work of God don't go on without us. We can say, tell God we're not going to do something, and just because I tell God I'm not going to do something, it doesn't mean that somebody else don't get that blessing. When I tell God I'm not going to do something, all that means is somebody else gets my blessing. And so the other end of it was, if you've talked to anybody that was on the plane, this was really funny. For you pilots out there, this is really funny. Leah was up in the front. We're on this little plane, and Leah's sitting up there with the pilot. So they got the little headsets on, so they're talking. So we can't hear what they're saying. And so we start down this dirt runway, and we're going out over the ocean. And so the plane comes up off the ground, and so and Tammy and I have done this numerous times. We both noticed we're not doing what we normally do. And so I decided that this guy's name's Michael. He's a really nice guy. I decided he was going to let us see that coral one more time, because right at the end of this is where that volcano ran down in the ocean, and it's just breathtakingly beautiful at that spot. And so I had decided Leah didn't help us out a bit. She's up there in front knowing exactly what's going on this plane. We get to the end of that runway. He turned that thing straight up. And we go out and we just rolled back over and we screamed like little girls. It is a wonder that y'all could not hear us screaming. I mean, we all did not see that coming. Sometimes it happens that way. Hey, if you found your place in God's Word and you're physically able, I want you to stand as I read, beginning with 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words, and not to about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. But be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase more and more the ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they have overthrown the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house are there not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some of honor and some of dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on our Lord out of a pure heart. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we turn our attention to the spoken word, God, I pray that you would be with us. I pray that you would use this word to draw us to you. And God, I pray that as we open this word up, Lord, God, I pray that first and foremost we would open our hearts. I pray that we would realize, God, that you want to speak to us, that you want to do something in us so that you could do something through us. And I pray that we would make that commitment today. And it's in the blessed and holy name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look at the rest of this chapter, not last week, but the Sunday before, we looked at the first 13 verses. But as we look at his verses, we see that Paul is encouraging Timothy, his son in the ministry, to live out the call that he has been given by the Lord. And when we look at this passage of Scripture, what we see is he is encouraging him on what he needs to do to carry out his ministry. And so the very first thing that he says here is that if we're going to serve the Lord, if we're going to serve him in a way that honors him, in a way that pleases him, we got to realize that we've got to do it God's way. And so when my first point today is that approved workers rightly divide the word of truth. Notice verse 14. The first thing he said is to remind them. And do you know that there are so many times in life when we need to be reminded of something over and over and over and over? And that's the idea here. The idea is that our job is to continually tell people the exact same thing. Now, you would think that somebody wouldn't have to be told the same thing over and over and over, but the reality of the situation is that we have to be told the same things to stay on course. And he said, remind them of these things. And he says, charging them before the Lord. Now, this word means to bear witness. This word charging, it means to bear witness. It means to testify earnestly or repeatedly. And it says, don't strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Do you know there are times when something can be just talked to death? And so many times something can be overanalyzed and people are looking for a way around it. They're looking some way to justify what they believe. And he just basically says, listen, don't do that. Don't get caught up so much in what it means. Live it out. Do what it says. He says in verse 15 that we're to be diligent. And that word be means to always more. And so we're to be striving. And it says be diligent to present yourself. Now, one of the things that we have to realize, we have to acknowledge, is that when Jesus did his work on the cross, he said, it is finished. And God's work is done. He has done everything for us that he can possibly do. He has provided salvation to us as a free gift. But you notice in this verse, he says, be diligent to present yourself. And I offer to you that there are far too many people that believe what Jesus did. They believe what the Bible says about that, but they've never done their part. And at some point, if we believe that, then we have to realize that we have to live that way. And far too many people never take the step of saying, okay, the Lord has done his part, now I'm going to do my part. And when the Bible says to present yourself approved to God, it's talking about when we stand before him, when we actually give an account of our lives, where we can say, God, you did your part, and Lord, I did my part. Lord, I know what the Bible says, and God, this is how that worked in me, and this is how that worked through me, and this is how that changed me to make me who you want me to be. But you notice it says that to offer ourselves to God, it says that approved worker does not need to be ashamed. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it astounding? Isn't it wonderful that those of us that would readily admit we're sinners, we've missed God's mark for our lives. But isn't it amazing that those things don't keep us from being approved when we stand before God? It's amazing that when we just agree with God, we just say, and we have no fear. We have nothing to worry about. And in order to be approved by God, we're going to have to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, what he's talking about here is to be able to teach it. He's to be able to handle it correctly. And what we have to realize is that God has done a work in our lives. God wants to do a work through our lives. And we have to do our part. And we have to realize that it's not our job to argue with people about what words mean. It's our job to live in obedience, to make sure that when God calls me to heaven and I have to give an account for my life, that I am going to say, God, listen, I know I sinned, I know I fell short, but Lord, this is the things that I was able to do to live out your word. And when the Bible talks about rightly dividing the word of truth, we have to realize that the Bible says what it says in the context in which it's written. And when we study it in the context, it keeps us from, well, it allows us to rightly divide it. I offer to you that if when we talk about salvation, I mean, we talked about this every day this past week, we believe, the Bible says, that salvation is by grace. In other words, there is absolutely nothing that a person can do to earn their salvation. And isn't that good news? That is the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is not by works, lest anyone should boast. But what happens is we teach people that, and we just teach them salvation is by grace, salvation is by grace, salvation is by grace. And we don't teach them that salvation is by grace, but it comes with a great responsibility. You see, far too many people who attend Southern Baptist churches, in my humbled opinion, far too many people who attend Southern Baptist churches say, I know I am saved by the unmerited favor of God. I know I didn't do anything to deserve it. God just gave it to me. And if God just gave that to me, then obviously the way I live my life really doesn't matter. The things that I do, the places I go, those things don't really matter because God has saved me by grace. And I offer to you that when we believe that and when we say that, we take grace far further than God ever intended it to go. You see, when we believe that salvation is by grace, when we believe that God has given it to us as a gift, then it makes us want to live according to His Word. It makes us want to do what God says to do and to live the life and strive to live the life. None of us perfectly do it, but strive to live the life that God has called us to. And when we do that, we will be approved when we live out God's word in the way that it's written. But the next thing he talks about in verses 16 through 18, he talks about the disapproved workers who misunderstand the word of God. And he says that we are to shun profane and idle babblings, for they increase to more ungodliness. And you know, there are times in our lives, in our walks, when we just need to be quiet. There are times when we just need to stop the nonsense, stop the chatter, stop saying what people have said, and know what God has said. And he says their message will spread like cancer. It is amazing to me that when we stand here today and we look at this verse about how that things will spread and how they will just spread like cancer and how that they will just take over a person's body, and it starts out with something that's so small, but it just continues to grow. And he gives a truth that had obviously happened in their day, and he talks about people who are saying the resurrection had already passed, and he said that they were able to overthrow the faith of some people. You know, there are some things in the Bible that are very difficult to understand. As a matter of fact, there are some things in the Bible I don't believe any man can understand. But that's not the great majority of the teachings in the Bible. The most of the things in the Bible are very plain, they're very simple, and most children can understand them. But what is amazing is when you look at what the Bible teaches, and then you look at the reality of the situation, you find those two things don't match up. And what I want to give you an example about is it happened in this very room about baptism. You try with all that is within you to tell somebody that salvation is by grace through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And you try to tell them that one way. You try to tell them that another way. You try to tell them that another way. Try to tell them another way. One day, this was eons ago, going to do a baptism service. And so we met up here on the day before. Said the water in the baptistry back there, and of course the Bible says water represents a grave. That's all it is. The Bible says buried in baptism with Christ Jesus, you go under that water, it's a grave. You come out, walk in newness of life. You know, that's all it is. It's a symbol. That's all it is. And so I stuck my hand down in the water and asked this person, and I said, what is this? Hoping biblically to get an answer, it's a grave. And the person says, that's holy water that's going to wash away my sins. And I said, it can't be holy water to wash away your sin. It's the same water that's in the toilet. There's nothing holy about it. It came out of a water hose connected to a spigot, and the only reason it didn't go in the bathroom is because I opened the spigot outside. And you're like, ugh. Amen? No. No, no, no. This week, I don't know how many times we said it. Salvation is by grace. Salvation is not through words. Every possible way through a translator that you could possibly say it. We did a baptism service one day. What day is today? One day we did a baptism service. Stood there with five people and basically argued with them about whether you have to be baptized to be saved or not. And it's no, no, no. No, we're not saved because we want, I mean, we're not baptized because we want to be saved. We're baptized because we are saved. And when we go under that water, we're saying to everybody that's there that the old man that lived for self, sin, that person has died, and that is their grave. And when we come out, it is in newness of life. We're going to live the life that God wants us to live. And you would think you can tell somebody over and over and over and over, thus saith the word of God. And then they'll tell you, right, man, I mean, I'm going out in that water to be baptized so I can be saved. No, 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 no. And so you just have to start over and over. And I know they were like, will that dude ever stop talking? And the answer is probably not. Because you just tell them and tell them. But yet, it's exactly like this. You know, somebody has said the resurrection was past and people believed it. And somebody has said you've got to be baptized. You've got to do something to be saved. I will tell you this. They're not big swimmers, and so one of the young ladies, she was really afraid. We're going out in the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, you could see why somebody that didn't swim, you know, wouldn't be thrilled about that prospect. But I finally told her this. I said, listen, I said, I can't swim. I said, you're not going to drown. I said, because we go all in that water. I can swim, you know, not big as a minute, you know, I can drag you right back to the shore without any trouble. I said, but listen, when you go out in eternity, I'm not going to be able to help you. You better know Jesus when you go out in eternity. You go out in that water, hey, we'll fish you out. You know, we can get you out. But when you go out into eternity, you better full well know who Jesus is. And it better not be based on no baptism out of water that the city of Brandon pumped out of the ground and sent down here. You know, it better be through His blood. It better be through His cross. You know, it better be through faith. Because if you don't have that, you're going to find yourself needing Him when you realize you need Him the most is when you're not going to be able to find Him. And so you better know that. Better know what's going on. All right, when we look at this next thing is, you see here that he says, and this is in verses 19 through 22, but this is prepared workers now. We went from approved workers, and then we looked at disapproved workers, but now we're looking at prepared workers. And he says something in verse 19, and I have read through 2 Timothy before, just reading in my Bible. But when I started to prepare this, I read this verse, and it really, this verse really got my attention. He says, nevertheless, in other words, you get dragged off by some untruth, listen, you go ahead. But he said, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. And he said, having this seal. And that word seal means to guarantee something's genuineness. In other words, this has always been true and it always will be. And what he says is, he said, the Lord knows those who are His. And I'm going to tell you something. That's shouting ground even for a Southern Baptist. I mean, that means that God is not in heaven looking for me. That means that God is not in heaven wondering where I am or what I'm doing. That means that God has known me since before what we call time even began. I mean, God knows those that are His. I mean, God knows the day we were going to be born. God knows the day that we're saved. And God knows the day that we will be with Him in eternity. And we have to remember that there is a great comfort in those words, knowing that the Lord knows those who are His. I want to give you one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, and it's verse 12. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Isn't it astounding to think that right now I can move and God in heaven said, oh, saw that, whoop, saw that. Whoop, saw that. Whoop, heard that. And isn't it amazing that the sovereign God of the universe is able to keep an eye on us, to know what we're going through, to be listening for our prayers, and to know that God intends for us to be with Him, and to know that one day we will. And it is amazing to me to think that God knows. I mean, really, we have to ask ourselves, you know, who are we that God would even be mindful of us? But yet God in heaven knows and cares. In John 10:27, the Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, nor shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." And in verse 29, he said, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one." It amazes me beyond my little brain's ability to comprehend. But when we belong to Jesus, do you know where we are? We're right in His hand. We're according to that verse, we're right in His hand. And the great thing about being in His hand, He said that there is no one that can snatch us out. And so when we are His, when we belong to Him, He's got His eye on us, He's got His ear open to us, and He's got us right in the palm of His hand. And you know what we say when we got something in the palm of our hand? Got it just where I want it. And you think about that. I mean, you think about that. It really is astounding and amazing. And then the next one that He says, this is that solid ground, this is that eternal truth. "Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Listen, if we know that we're His, you know how we live that truth out? We live it out by departing from iniquity. And what is iniquity? Iniquity is when you know it's wrong. You know what I'm saying? It's not, you know, the Bible says that you should not do that. And you say, that's iniquity. You understand? I mean, iniquity is not, I told you to be there at 3 and showed up at 4. That's an untruth. That's not an iniquity. Iniquity is when you know what the Bible says. You know full well the Bible says, and you say, do whatever I want to. Ain't nobody stopping me. Y'all know when we get that attitude and how bad that always ends? Y'all know what I'm talking about? It never ends well for never. And that's what He's talking about. And when we know we are His, we live it out by saying, nope, I'm not going down that road. I may have already been down that road, and I'm not going down that road. I already know where that thing ends. And we make the decision that we belong to the Lord, and we make the decision that we're going to live for the Lord. Now, notice what He goes on and says about prepared workers. He talks then about the vessels that are in a house. And He talks about how that there's not only gold and silver, but there's wood and clay, and some have honor and some for dishonor. In other words, you know, you got some vessels in your house and you polish. You know, we don't polish the Tupperware at our house. You know, you just throw it in a drawer, you hope you can find a lid. You know, if you can't find a lid, you get tired of looking for the lid, throw that thing away, you know, get something else and go again. But, you know, the good stuff, the family heirlooms, you hang on to that stuff. You know, you polish that stuff, make it look good. Well, that's what He's saying. And but He says in verse 21, He tells us what it means. He says, therefore, if anyone, and what does He say? What does He say there in those next two words? He said, therefore, if anyone what? Cleanses himself. And now we're back to the same truth again. First, it was presents himself, and now it's cleanses himself. And the idea is here, hey, do I want to be valuable to God? Well, I do. And so how is that lived out? Well, cleanse yourself from the latter. What is it? It's from dishonor. And it says, and he will be a vessel of honor. And then it says, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now, when you look at that phrase that says sanctified and useful for the master, I hope that you realize, and this is as true for me as it is for anybody in this room, but listen, I cannot be living in sin in any way in my life. I can't walk up to Whitney and just bald-faced lie to her and then come back up here and start preaching a sermon. When we make the decision to sin, we have to realize that keeps us from being sanctified. That keeps us from being set apart for God, but it also keeps us from being useful for the master. And I every time that we go on a mission trip, you know, we always have to have this talk. And this talk is, listen, the people in Haiti need to see Jesus in us, not sin. You know, we can't be up here and it's we, and you notice I'm pointing at myself. But I can't be up here living in open rebellion to God and go down there and tell them how they're supposed to serve God. God is not going to allow that. That's not how it works. And if we're going to be useful for the master, then we have got to cleanse ourselves. We have got to say, I'm not doing that anymore. I would rather be of value to God. I would rather be of use to God and be able to be used by Him. And notice when we're sanctified and useful, you know, that's ready right there. Then we're prepared for every good work. And far too many people never take the step of saying, God, I'm fixing to clean this mess up. I know what your word says. I know how you want me to live. And God, that's what I'm going to do. And notice what he says in verse 22. He says, flee from youthful lust. I know y'all are going to be shocked by this. I hope nobody faints when I tell you this. But a couple of weeks ago, I went to my 35th class, high school class reunion. I mean, shock, shock, horror, faint, fall out, right? Can't believe I'm that old. I know. I don't even look 35, and here I have been out of high school 35 years. Yeah, me too. I feel 135 right now. So, but you know, when the Bible says flee youthful lust, Julie was with me. There was a guy there, and man, we used to hoot and holler when we were in junior high. And then we went to high school and kind of lost touch after that. And saw him for the first time in no telling how many years, 2 weeks ago. And you'd have thought he's still in the eighth grade. Desperately needs to grow up. I mean, you know, you're sitting there, and the only thing that's really changed in his life is, you know, he no longer goes to middle school. Now he has a job. But everything else is basically the same. You know, his view of life was the same. And I was really glad to see him. But his view of life was the same. And it was like, man, I know how old you are. I know your mom and your daddy. I mean, his dad's already passed, but I know your mama. I know your sister. You need to let that stuff, to what you're talking about, you need to let that go. We are not in junior high. Amen? I mean, at some point, Paul just said that at some point, you just got to let that junior high business go. I mean, you're 52 years old. I mean, now's the time, right? Yeah. All right. Okay, y'all have to tell about y'all's reunion one day. I know y'all know people like this. We all do. We just don't want to be those people. You know, we don't want them to be either. But he says, you flee youthful lust. At some point, you got to give it up. You know, when you got gray hair, you need to act like it. You know, I'm going to use my own. You know, you need to act like it. And he says to stop doing the childish, foolish things that we all did when we were teenagers. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Isn't it amazing that we're all after something? Every one of us is. We can be after the junior high stuff that's not funny when you're in your 50s anymore. Or we can make the decision. Every one of us. God, I'm going to pursue righteousness. And that is things that are according to God's way. And I'm going to pursue faith. And God, I'm going to step out in faith. And I'm going to do what you call me to do and love. And God, I'm going to love those unlovable people. And I'm going to treat everybody the same. And then peace. And obviously, we know how important that is to pursue peace as opposed to being a troublemaker and, oh my, here they come again and watch out, it's going to be bad. And he said, pursue peace with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Isn't it amazing that everything that God ever asks us to do starts in the same place, and it's right here. It starts with our heart being pure, our heart being right, our heart being available to Him. And when we know that our heart is right, then we're able to say, God, let's go. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? And when we make the commitment to do that, when we make the commitment to live that way, there is no end to what God can do through our life. And that's what makes this passage of Scripture so astounding. When you read them and you study them, all of us can make the decision to pursue these things. All of us can say, I'm not going to act like I'm in the eighth grade anymore. I'm going to grow up and I'm going to become a man or a woman and I'm going to pursue these things. And listen, you can be under the eighth grade and still pursue these things. And what's amazing is it's right there before us, right in front of us. And every one of us has to make a choice. Every one of us has to choose what we're going to go after and what we're going to seek and what we're going to want out of this life. And then he starts talking about these other things about the ministry and to be able to help people. And I'll just read it. In verse 23, it said, "But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle, able to teach, patience, and in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. And if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and they may come to their senses and escape the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." You see, when God's work is done in our heart and we make the decision that we're going to pursue these three things, then we become valuable to God. And we become valuable to God, and it allows him to use us to go out and speak to people and tell them the truth. Now, how many people know, well, let me rephrase that. I can guarantee you, I've stepped in the snare of the devil. I can tell you. You may not have, and you may be thinking, but listen, the devil is cunning, and he's crafty, and he'll get us because he's relentless. And if you just take your eye off that trail for 1 second, he'll get you. And you know what the great thing about it is? God wants to do a work in our hearts. He wants to make us right, make us pure. And then he wants us to go out and say to people, you know, that very same thing happened to me. And let me tell you what God did in that situation. And you don't have to stay caught in that snare. We can get you out. You know, God will do it. And it's a tremendous privilege to be able to do those things. But we have to know the truth, and we have to live the truth, and we have to teach the truth. And if you leave any step out, it messes everything up. If you try to teach the truth without living the truth, people will laugh at you, right? And if we know it, then we just make the commitment. God, I'm going to have faith in you. God, I'm gonna pursue righteousness. I'm gonna pursue love. I'm gonna pursue peace. And God, I'm gonna live the life that you call me to live. Listen, God wants to do something through every person that's in this room. God wants to do a work in your life. He wants to do something. And the great thing about it, in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. It doesn't matter what we did yesterday. What matters is what are we gonna do now. What are we going to do now? And I know that now y'all know a lot more about this than I do. And so I've refrained from talking about it, but I know that the Supreme Court ruled while we were gone this past week, and that's really all I know about that. But we need to realize great opportunity to say, you know, God's got a plan for your life. God's got a purpose. There is no sin that God will not forgive. Great opportunity. I mean a great opportunity. But we have to be willing to take it. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we bow before you today, God, I do pray that our hearts would be first broken over our sin, Lord, our unwillingness to turn to you, the ways that we try to justify the things that we know are wrong, and somehow we think that we can feel better about those things. And God, I pray that you would just right now just touch each one of our hearts, Lord. Pray that our hearts would be broken over our own sin. And God, I pray that as our hearts are broken, I also pray that they would be filled with your grace and your mercy. And God, I pray that we would just come to the point of realizing, Lord, that you offer to us freedom. You offer to us forgiveness. You offer to us blessings. And God, that's all you want us to be, is blessed. And so, God, I pray that we would also realize, Lord, that if we know that freedom in Christ, then we also know the responsibility. And, God, I pray that right now each of us would realize, Lord, I've got to purify myself. I've got to cleanse myself. Lord, you're not going to come down from heaven and straighten up my life, Lord. You empower me to do that. And it is through your power, and it is through your grace, and it is through your mercy that we do it. But God, you give us the power to do it. So I pray right now for those of us who are gathered here today to worship you, God, if we have anything in our life that's not pleasing to you, God, I pray that now would be the time when we would allow you to deal with those things. I pray that you would sift our hearts as wheat, and I pray that you would remove the chaff, and it would just blow away, and God, we would be pure before you so that we can serve you in a way that honors you. You're an awesome God, and it's a privilege to serve you, and I pray that your will would be done in this place, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.